Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a fabric presentation from November 2015. Miss Sylvia Happel, Business Development Apparel of Lansing AG, presents Natural Materials, Comfort and Function.
Welcome to the presentation, Comfort and Function with Natural Materials. My name is Sylvia Happel. I'm working since more than 10 years for Lansing Fibers. Lansing is a manufacturer for cellulosic fibers. We make fibers like viscose, modal, and tensile, and we have plenty of studies with our fibers, also in comparison with other fibers like cotton, polyester, or wool. So first, an overview about textile fibers. So there are two big groups. First, the natural fibers. Natural fibers are either protein-based or cellulose-based. Protein-based fibers are fibers from animals, for example, like wool, silk, angora, cashmere, or other animal hair, or fibers made from plants like cotton, linen, hemp, jute, and so on. And on the other side, you have the man-made fibers. Volume-wise, the synthetic fibers is the biggest group. Synthetic fibers are usually made of crude oil, but there are also some synthetic fibers made of renewable resources like corn or castor oil, for example. Then you have also man-made fibers which are made from inorganic substances. This is a very small group, mainly used for technical applications. And then you have also man-made fibers which are made from natural resources, so from natural polymers. So there is one group, the protein-based group, which is relatively small. For example, casein fibers which are made of milk. But this group, the cellulose-based group, is quite big. So these are fibers like viscose, modal, tensile, cupro, acetate. And these fibers are made of the renewable resources like wood or other plants like bamboo, for example. We at Lansing, we use mainly wood, different kinds of wood like beech, eucalyptus wood, spruce, or birch, for example, just to give you an overview. So now some figures about the fiber market. So the total fiber consumption for textiles is almost 90 million tons of fibers. The biggest group are synthetic fibers. Second biggest group is cotton with almost 30%. Then we have the man-made cellulosic fibers with 6.7%. And then other fibers like wool. So wool is a relatively small share with only 1.3%. And then other fibers like silk, cashmere, and so on, which is quite small. Also these inorganic fibers. So this is just 0.5%. So now some more figures to give you an idea about the availability of fibers, of cotton and man-made cellulosic fibers. You can see that standard cotton has the biggest share with 72%. Cotton made in USA is about 13%, so this is best practice cotton. And then you have many special cotton types. For example, extra long staple cotton, which is only 1%. Also organic cotton has only a share of 1%, and also the share of cellulosic fibers. The biggest share is viscose, so standard viscose, and then there are the specialty types like tensile and modal, which have only a share of each about 1%. Now about natural materials. Natural materials are very comfortable because they have a natural function. They are breathable, they are temperature regulating, they absorb moisture, they have a reduced bacterial growth, so less odor formation, they have no electrostatic charging, and they come all from renewable resources. So now a little, some more details. So for the comfort, the fiber surface is very important, but also so the friction on the skin is very important for the comfort. So for the friction on the skin is first the fiber surface important. When you have a smooth fiber surface, you have less friction, but also fibers who have a high moisture uptake have less friction. For example, when synthetic fibers don't absorb moisture, and when you have the moisture on the outside, it creates friction on the skin. So and here you have an overview. Wool has a very rough surface, but it absorbs a lot of moisture. Cotton has a little smoother surface. It absorbs also moisture, but less than cotton. Then you have polyester, which has a very smooth surface, but doesn't absorb any moisture. And then the man-made cellulosic fibers, Tencel and Modal, which have both a very smooth surface and both absorb a lot of moisture. Yeah, now you can measure also this friction on the skin. It's a wet cling index, so you pull a wet fabric over a glass plate and measure the friction. And here you can see 100% wool has the highest friction, the highest wet cling index. And when you blend wool with Tencel, so with just 50%, you can improve already the wet cling index. And when you have more Tencel with 70%, it's even better. So now the moisture uptake. Yeah, here you can see the blue color and also the black spots. This is the moisture in the fiber. You can see the diameter of the cross-section of the fiber. And you can see here cotton, the blue color. This is the moisture. It absorbs moisture, but less, for example, than the cellulosic fibers. And also the moisture is not distributed as even as in the man-made cellulosic fibers. You can see also the moisture regain. Moisture regain is the natural content of moisture in the fiber at 20 degrees Celsius and 65% humidity. You can see that polyester has no moisture regain, whereas natural fibers have all relatively high moisture regain. The highest moisture regain has wool with 14 to 15%, then the man-made cellulosic fibers with around 11%, and then cotton with 8%. And then on the other side, you have the moisture retention ability. This is the maximum capacity to absorb moisture. And here you can see that the highest capacity has viscose with 90%. So viscose can really absorb high amounts of moisture, but also the other man-made cellulosic fibers like Tencel and Modal can absorb a lot of moisture. Also wool with 40 to 45% of its own weight and cotton with 50%. The disadvantage is viscose absorbs a lot of moisture, but also the drying time is very long because the moisture is not distributed evenly. So the Tencel absorbs less moisture, but the advantage is that also the drying time is faster because of this even distribution of the moisture. Yeah, this is now the guts test. With the guts test, you measure also amount of moisture uptake and also the speed. So you can see this, the pink line is moisture uptake of a normal polyester, not a wicking polyester, normal polyester. You can see that it doesn't absorb any moisture. The turquoise line is a wicking polyester. You can see that the wicking finish can improve the moisture uptake, the moisture wicking. And then you can see the blue line, the dark blue line, is 100% Tencel. You can see that Tencel absorbs very fast moisture and a lot of moisture, so high quantity of moisture. But you can even improve the moisture uptake by a blend with polyester. Tencel has swells when it gets wet. And when you blend Tencel with polyester, the polyester works like keeps the space open between the single fibers, and the Tencel fiber can swell better when it's blended with polyester. And so the green line is a Tencel polyester blend, 70% polyester, 30% Tencel, and it absorbs very fast moisture and even more than 100% Tencel because the swelling is improved. So now you can see the wicking behavior as a picture. Yeah, sometimes it's not easy to see, but you can see that the Tencel absorbs also here very fast moisture. You put a drop of water on some fabric and you can see how the moisture spreads. And the Tencel, you can see it absorbs more moisture and also the distribution of the moisture is much faster compared to normal polyester and compared to cotton. Yeah, also in comparison with wool, on the left side, you can see 100% wool. You can see that the drop stays on the surface on the fabric, but when you blend tencel with wool or wool with tencel, you can see that the moisture distribution or the wicking behavior becomes better. So now the drying time. Of course, when a fabric absorbs a lot of moisture, it needs also time to dry. So here is a comparison of polyester, non-wicking polyester, normal polyester of 100% cotton, 100% tencel, and a blend of tencel polyester. So all fabrics have been had the same amount of moisture content, and then we measured the drying time. Usually, polyester doesn't absorb any moisture, so usually the drying time is faster, but when you have the same moisture content, you see the yellow line is 100% polyester, the drying time is not very fast. In the middle, you see the blue line and the red line, it's 100% tencel and 100% cotton. Drying time is almost the same. And then the last line, the violet line, is a blend of tencel polyester, and the same effect as before. Because of the polyester, you have a better moisture distribution, and for this reason, faster drying time. Also, the moisture uptake has influence on the thermoregulation. So when you have fibers with a high moisture uptake, you have a cooling effect. You can measure this with a so-called Alambetta test. You measure the thermal absorptivity of a fabric, and you can see the higher the bar, the better is the cooling effect. So here we compared 100% tencel and 100% cotton at 32% humidity and 55% air humidity, and you can see the 100% tencel has a better cooling effect than cotton. And also at a higher air humidity, you have also a higher cooling effect. Yeah, also the same with wool. Also here we measured the thermoregulation, the cooling effect. So on the right side, you can see 100% wool. And when you blend wool with tencel, you can improve the cooling effect. So the more tencel, the better the cooling effect. So also the bacterial growth is related to the moisture uptake. So when fibers have a moisture on the surface, this can create bacterial growth. For example, synthetic fibers don't absorb moisture. There is moisture on the fiber surface, and bacteria can grow on the fiber surface. So this is an in vitro test, and we compare different synthetic fibers and cotton and tencel. And you can see that the bacterial growth on synthetic fibers is much higher than on natural materials which absorb moisture. So we didn't measure the wool. Wool is only an assumption, but it's well known that the bacterial growth and the odor formation on wool is very low, and it's used a lot for active sportswear now because it has a low bacterial growth and less odor formation. And the same with tencel. Yeah, also electrostatic charging on synthetic fibers can be very unpleasant. So everybody knows this effect when you pull a polyester sweater over your head and you have this electrostatic charging. And as natural fibers contain moisture, and this moisture regain leads to higher conductivity. And for this reason, you have less electrostatic charging. So in general, you can say natural materials have no electrostatic charging, not only tencel and cotton, but all other natural fibers which contain moisture have less electrostatic charging compared to synthetic fibers. When you have 100% natural fibers, like 100% tencel, modal, viscose, cotton, whatever, you have a slower drying time. To improve the drying time and also to improve the moisture uptake or moisture transport, you can blend natural fibers with synthetic fibers. And one idea is to have the synthetic fibers which don't absorb any moisture on the skin side, and outside a natural material which absorbs of moisture. And with this construction, you can improve the moisture transport from the skin side away to the outer side where the moisture can dry. And with this construction, you can create a faster drying time, you have a better cooling effect, and you have outside a natural touch of the natural material. Yeah, another idea are yarn blends, for example, dry release. Dry release is a patented yarn technology. It's usually a blend of about 10 to 15% only natural materials with about 85 to 90% synthetic materials. And the idea is also first to have a natural touch of the natural materials. So for example, cotton, merino, silk, linen, and tencel. And I have seen on their booth even a cashmere blend. And even also the amount of natural material is very low, that you can still feel the touch, the nice touch of the natural material. The advantage is here that you have a permanent moisture wicking. You don't need a wicking finishing. You can't wash it away. You have a better cooling effect, better moisture transport, and a nice natural touch. Then there are also several functional treatments, either on yarns or fabrics or fibers. Skin Dry, for example, is a new development from the spinner Feldkirch in Austria. And they treated the hydrophilic fiber micromodal with a hydrophobic treatment, with a hydrophobic finish. That sounds very strange, but it works very well, because their idea is to have 100% natural material, which is hydrophobic, and that can be combined with a hydrophilic fiber. So their idea is also to have the hydrophobic micromodal on the skin side, outside the hydrophilic normal micromodal for a better moisture transport, cooling effect, and to improve the moisture transport away from the skin to the outer side. And also here the advantage is that it's very durable. They are saying that it's washable up to 50 times and you still have the same good moisture transport. Yeah, another example for functional treatment is 3x dry by Schoeller. So this is the other way around. They treat a fabric, have outside the water repellent finish, so the hydrophobic finish to keep, for example, rain away. It's also dirt repellent, and they have the hydrophilic part, so it's the finishing of the fabric, the hydrophilic part on the skin to have more comfort. And also here, it keeps the body dry over a longer period. So for example, when you do sports outside, you don't get wet from outside. Then another advantage is also you don't see the perspiration marks on the outer side. With these other effects, when you have the hydrophilic fiber outside, of course, you will see the sweat. And so this is another idea, but also very functional. Several man-made cellulosic fibers with active ingredients. So one example is, for example, C-cell. It's a lyocell fiber, so the same technology as Tencel, with incorporated seaweed. So the seaweed particles are incorporated into the fiber. It can't be washed off. And seaweed has a skin protective and skin caring effect. It protects from premature aging of the skin due to its vital substances and trace elements. Another product from Smart Fiber is Smart Cell Sensitive. So in this, it's also a lyocell fiber with incorporated zinc. Zinc is used often in creams for wound healing, for better wound healing. And the zinc oxide has a direct effect on the skin. It improves cell regeneration, skin renewal. It helps to heal wounds or inflammations. It has a UV protection and helps also to prevent premature aging. It has a natural antibacterial effect, that means odor reducing, and also a functional fiber. Then Tencel C. Yeah, Tencel C, also a lyocell fiber with integrated chitosan. Chitosan is used a lot in the cosmetic, but also in the medical industry. It helps to maintain the moisture in the skin. It helps to keep the skin more elastic and to help to keep the skin barrier, and it helps also to stimulate the cell regeneration. So compared to cotton, the moisture, it keep compared to cotton, Tencel C helps to keep more moisture in the skin and helps to prevent moisture loss of the skin.
So yeah, Umofil is a viscose fiber from Taiwan with integrated collagen. Everybody knows collagen from the cosmetic industry. It helps also to keep the moisture in the skin. It has also a natural deodorizing, so odor preventing effect. Has an antibacterial effect, and it has also UV protection. So it's made of natural material. Collagen is made of skin, fish scales. The viscose is made of wood. It's biodegradable, so completely natural material. Yeah, when you use natural material, sustainability is very important. And there are several standards and norms, and sometimes it's really difficult, to see the differences. So I put now together the most important ones. So the most comprehensive standard it got, so it's not only about organic cotton, it includes also the ecological aspects of dyeing and finishing, so of the whole production, and also the social aspects of the production. It's a very strict standard. They have also different standards, so one is 100% organic cotton or 100% organic materials, like they have also organic linen, organic wool, and so on. And but they have also blends now up to with up to 30% other fibers. But also there they have restrictions. Of course, they don't allow any blends. They allow only blends with fibers which are sustainable. Another standard is the organic exchange standard, which is less strict. And this is only about the fiber. So it does not include the dyeing and finishing of the fabric, also no social standards. And they have also two standards, the 100% organic cotton standard and also blends, but they start already with minimum 5% organic cotton. Then a more pragmatic standard is a Better Cotton, so the BCI, Better Cotton Initiative standard. This is an initiative started by some very big retailers who need big volumes, and as you have seen before, available amount of organic cotton is not very high. And to get more sustainably grown cotton, they started this initiative to improve the economically and social aspects of cotton growing. So they are working directly with farmers to improve the social standards, but also to reduce water use and the use of fertilizers and pesticides. The last standard is Cotton Made in Africa. Cotton Made in Africa is also an initiative, but this is more to improve the social standards of cotton farmers in the sub-Saharan region. So you see there are really many different aspects, and you have to decide before you use cotton what you want. If you want to improve the social standards or the ecological standards or all, so it's a quite complex topic. Yeah, then there are other standards which are more about the production and finishing. So Bluesign is also very comprehensive. They assess the production or dyeing and finishing of fabrics, but also of fibers. And they start already to restrict harmful substances. They don't allow certain substances that the production is more eco-friendly. It's not just about testing the harmful substances in the fabric. Then you have the standard Made in Green by Ökotex. So this is relatively new standard. It's not like the Ökotex standard 100, which tests only the harmful substances in the fabrics, but it tests also the process, so the production of the fabrics, and also the production is social responsibly. Another standard is the European Eco Label. The European Eco Label assesses also the production process, so which chemicals are used, and there's also they have many different categories. They have also a category for textiles, and for example, Lansing fibers are also have the European Ecolabel standard. Yeah, then there are some tools to assess sustainability. So there is a HIC index. So the HIC index has been developed by the Sustainable Apparel Coalition. The Sustainable Apparel Coalition has been founded by some big retailers who found that they have to improve the ecological and social standards in the textile industry. And they said, as a single company, you can't achieve that much. It's better to do this together in a group. And this is a Sustainable Apparel Coalition. And they developed a set of tools to assess sustainability. So it's first about the facilities. So for example, the use of energy in the build, or the transport and these kind of things, but also the product development, so which fibers are used, the finishing and so on. It's quite complex, and but you have to be a member of the Sustainable Apparel Coalition to use the HIC index. I think it will be, sooner or later, it will be available also for the complete industry, but at the moment it's for the Sustainable Apparel Coalition only. Then there is another tool, it's a made-by benchmark for fibers. So this is a very simple tool. They have six parameters for fibers which they assess. So this is land use, water use, the greenhouse gas emissions, the ecotoxicity, human toxicity, and they have five classes from A to E. So A is the best class, up to E, which is less sustainable class. So you can see this benchmark on the Made By website. It's a very simple and easy to understand tool. Yeah, then for wood, there are also standards for these cellulose-based fibers like viscose, modal, and tensile. The resource wood is very important, and there are the most important standards are FSC, so the Forest Stewardship Council. It's a tool to assess if the wood comes from sustainable managed forests. Another standard is PEFC. It's similar. It's a program for the endorsement of forests. And they promote sustainable forestry, but they offer also a custody of certification. And you can use it also to verify that the wood comes from sustainable sources. Yeah, another tool to assess sustainability are life cycle assessments. So life cycle assessments are a very complex tool. So about 11 different aspects are assessed. So for example, the global warming, the consumption of non-renewable resources, human health, so human toxicity, soil pollution, water pollution, air pollution, the ozone layer depletion, acidification and eutrophication, so what the pollution by fertilizers, and of course also water and land use. And here this is an example for a life cycle assessment from Lansing fibers in comparison to conventional cotton and polyester and polypropylene. And you can see that conventional cotton has a very high impact on the environment, especially the soil and water pollution because of the high use of fertilizers and pesticides. So organic cotton would be much better. Yeah, here is the land use of different fibers. You can see also when you use wood for fiber manufacturing, so always calculated for 1 ton of fiber, you can see that it's much more efficient compared to cotton. You need less land to produce the same amount of fiber compared to cotton. And you don't need agricultural land, so there is no competition to food production. So the difference between the fibers is because we use different kinds of wood. So for tensile, we use eucalyptus wood, which is very fast-growing wood. And for the modal and the Lansing viscose in Asia, in Austria, we use beech wood, which is slow-growing. For this reason, the figures are different. And then another important thing is the water consumption. Everybody knows that water is getting short. And for man-made fibers, you need less water. So you have the green bar is the cooling water, and the yellow bar is the processed water. So the cooling water is just used for the cooling and goes back to the river. And the increase of the temperature is only 1.5 degrees, which is also controlled. You see, you need much less water compared to conventional grown cotton. Yeah, so here are my contact details. In case you have later on questions or need further information, more detailed information. So this was first impression. We have really a lot of information about of our fibers. Yeah, and that, thank you very much for your attention. So this is a picture from our headquarters between Salzburg and Linz in Upper Austria. It's close to the Attersee, so a very beautiful area. And you can see we are producing really in a very nice environment. We are producing fibers, so you can see that we have a very high environmental standards. Otherwise, we could not produce there.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to www.performancedays.eu. Copyright 2015 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.